It was 1999, and I was about to be ordained as a rabbi, an out lesbian rabbi. And I'd gone through rabbinical school with really no huge difficulties about being gay. But my professors were a little bit, I think, nervous about it and recommended that I talk to some of the already ordained lesbian rabbis who were out there. I happened to know them because we all know each other. So I made a couple of phone calls, and these women who really had also been my mentors at various points and continued to be throughout my life said, "Don't worry about it. We broke down all the barriers. It's all good. You don't have to worry about it." Yeah. That did not end up being how it went, unfortunately. So I went through the process of interviewing on campus, and then we would get callbacks, and we would go to those congregations, and we would interview in person there. And then at the end of this process, it was kind of like a match, like a med school match. And so if they listed you number one and you listed them number one, then you matched, and then it went sort of down the line from there. And there was this one day when everybody would get their phone call from the congregation that wanted to hire them. So I woke up that morning, and I had had a couple of callbacks, and everything was, you know, was fine. And I went into my office, where on my desk was this phone, you know, like the kind that you pick up, right? Because it wasn't like a cell phone in your pocket. But... And I sat down, and I just waited. And we knew that everybody, you know, all the congregations called really early because they knew that you were waiting. And so, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, 3 hours... I didn't get a call. I didn't get a job. After 5 years of graduate school, after 4 years of undergraduate school, I didn't have a job. I had really a lot of loans, and it was a problem. It was a problem that I didn't have a job. So I went into school the next day. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was one of two of my classmates who didn't have a job. And I remember very distinctly being in the mail room of my college, and you know, there were all the sort of cubbyhole mail things, and I was sitting up on the counter, and I was talking to my friend who was a year behind me, and she was, you know, consoling me and hoping that everything was going to be okay. And the registrar from the college came in, and she saw that I was there, and she said, "Oh, good, I was about to call you." She said, "We got a call from a congregation that didn't place during the match, and I was talking to the senior rabbi, and he said, well, do you have any, you know, good candidates?" And she said, "Oh, yes, 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 I have this wonderful candidate. She's this, and she's that, and she's this, and she's got an issue." She's gay. But she was so proud of herself that she had said this to this senior rabbi. And she looked at me expectantly, and I was like, "I don't know what to say right now." So she said, "You'll go, you'll interview, it'll be fine." I got another interview in that time as well. I went out to California, spent a couple of days there, interviewed, and then flew back to Connecticut. When I was about to go to the interview in Connecticut, I got a call, again on a phone that you picked up in the hotel. And the rabbi from the congregation in California said, "I just want to let you know that we're not going to offer you the position, but it's not because you're a lesbian. It's because you're a woman." I am not making this up. So with that, I walked into the interview in the congregation in Connecticut, where the senior rabbi had decided to bring me in to interview because, as he said, when Matthew Shepard was murdered, he finally understood that if he wasn't part of the solution, that he was part of the problem. And so he made it his mission to hire me. I'm pretty sure he would have hired me if I had been the worst rabbi anywhere, but okay. I'm indebted to him for giving me this job and making it happen. So I arrive in the congregation in July of that year, as you do, and started to meet people. and started to do all of the things. And I had heard that there had been a board meeting of the congregation to decide if they could, in fact, offer a position to a lesbian. And there were a lot of people there. You don't get that kind of turnout for a board meeting, seriously. But this one, they showed up for. And many people stood up to say why it was a terrible idea to have a lesbian rabbi. But enough of them were convinced by the rabbi emeritus, also someone to whom I am indebted, who said, if she is a good rabbi, then we should hire her. It's really not that complicated. They offered me the position. I came, I started. There was an AP article that ran in the Hartford Courant, was picked up by the New York Times. Lesbian rabbi to be installed. Yeah, like a light bulb. The high holidays rolled around, and I was asked by the senior rabbi to go out to lunch with a very wealthy member of the congregation who was so horrified by my presence that he was recruiting other wealthy members to buy out my contract. He had written a letter to all of these friends of his about why it was appalling that I should be a rabbi in the congregation. I went to that lunch. That was among the hardest things that I've done in my career, and I learned something very, very important. Never let that person drive. Drive your own car to the lunch so you can leave. But you know, you learn from these things, you learn. I went through the high holidays, and I found that most of the people in the congregation were lovely and welcoming, wanted to meet my wife at the time, wanted to get to know me and learn from me. And in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, one of the most remarkable things, I think, of my rabbinate to date happened. I got a letter in the mail. And I got this letter from another man in the congregation who wrote, "Dear Rabbi, I am writing to ask your forgiveness. I had all sorts of ideas in my head about what you would be like. And I told people in that board meeting that we shouldn't hire you because there was no way that your values could align with our values." He said, "I listened to what you said. As a rabbi, as a teacher, as a person whose values absolutely align with mine. And this is my teshuvah. I am asking your forgiveness." And at the very end of the letter, he said, "If there's one good thing that comes from this time of which I am ashamed, it is that I have learned, and I will never repeat it again." Weeks or months maybe later, that letter that guy had circulated apparently reached that gentleman's desk. And he wrote the most beautiful response to the guy who was trying to buy out my contract. I don't know what inspired him to stand so strongly, not just to me, but in the face of that as well, but I'm grateful for it. After my 5 years in that congregation, I came here to Baltimore, where I am not the first out gay rabbi in my congregation. I am the second. But I am also the third gay rabbi. The first was never able to be out. And so I stand on the shoulders of incredible gay people, incredible rabbis, and incredible Jews. And I have never had more love, more acceptance, and more people than in this congregation, and I am grateful.